Francis Walter is a retired Episcopal priest who now lives in Suwanee, Tennessee. He was born in Mobile, Alabama in 1932, and he recently wrote a memoir, From Preaching to Meddling, A White Minister in the Civil Rights Movement, published by New South Books. From 1965 until 1972, Walter was the director of the Selma Interreligious Project, which supported African Americans in their struggle for civil rights in the Black Belt counties of Alabama. Here are a few of his reflections. What inspired you to write this and share it with us now?
Well, I'm a great storyteller and a tale teller. I mean, not made up stuff, but, you know, real stuff. And in my civil rights days, it was called the Selma Interreligious Project. It grew out of the troubles in Selma, should say the advances in Selma. And So I was used to writing. We had a monthly newsletter we put out, and I've enjoyed writing, so I just decided I'd write a memoir.
You recount not only through the years, not only across the South to other parts of the country and back again during the civil rights movement, but also you did not start out with the views on race and on civil rights that you later came to adopt. Tell us more about that.
It was rather early, I guess, and it was thanks to my mother. There were little things like my best friend in first grade and on up through high school. They had a maid. They didn't use courtesy titles to address her. They just said Sally or whatever her name was. But my mother corrected me about our maid. Well, we did call her by her first name, Volina, but when we introduced her to other people, we said, you know, Mrs. Gardner. That was not done then. When my mother went to a black woman's house in Mobile that she had come across because of her civil rights statements, she knocked on the door and she told me, she said, you know, back in the day, a white person wouldn't do that. They'd stand out in the yard and holler until the person came, and they wouldn't use courtesy titles, and they wouldn't go in the house. There was a code, and thanks to my mother and our family, we didn't follow it.
But you had to live and learn and work in a part of the country where that code was expected of everybody, white and black. This was the Jim Crow segregated South.
Well, I went to Spring Hill College in Mobile. It was a Jesuit college, and graduated. And then I went to seminary in New York, and I served in a church in Jersey City. It was a fine facility, but it only had a handful of white people that were members. And these two pioneering priests came in and got a school bus and opened it up and had hundreds of black people and Hispanics and a number of white people. And it was called an inner city parish. And later I was asked to become part of a team ministry there. I was really exposed to a non-segregated way of life, which was really important to me. And I knew that when I went back to Alabama as an Episcopal priest, I'd probably get in some trouble, but so what? We had a bishop who was certainly a man of the old South. And I knew when I went back, there would be opposition because of things I said and believed. True enough, it all happened.
Now we're talking the 1950s, the 1960s, the era of George Wallace as the governor of Alabama standing in the schoolhouse door.
Yep. Just after that schoolhouse door incident, our office of the Selma Interreligious Project was located in Tuscaloosa. My wife and I lived just cheek to jowl with the civil rights movement and with things going on at the University of Alabama. Yeah, I got in some trouble, but might have been shot at one time. One of my first encounters when I started doing the work of what we just ended up calling the Selma Project.
You just mentioned that you were shot at. Tell us more about that.
I went to a meeting in Greensboro, Alabama, after the death of the seminarian Jonathan Daniels. Jonathan was a theological student at General Seminary in New York. He and a number of people came to Alabama and marched from Selma to Montgomery, but Jonathan stayed on and asked to be let free from the seminary for a year or however. He was killed in Alabama, in Hayneville.
And this was 1965, not long after that march from Selma to Montgomery.
Right. After that, I was asked to take his place. There was an organization in the Episcopal Church called ESCRU, the Episcopal Society for Cultural and Racial Unity. It was in the Episcopal Church, but wasn't officially, you know, a part of the Episcopal Church in a legal way. So I took Jonathan's place. I visited him in jail a few days before he was shot. After Jonathan Daniels' death, myself and other members of the Episcopal Church went to all these Black agencies and groups in every little southern town in Alabama because they were having memorial services because of his death. I was going to go to Greensboro, Alabama. I arrived in Greensboro, and I knew I was going to speak at this Black church. And so I pulled up, got out of my car. Well, I had my father-in-law's car, and I remember driving over there. I said, I guess he didn't quite know what I needed the car for. I said, I don't know how he'll take it if I get shot and there's blood all over the front seat. What will he think? But I drove up, and as I got out of the car with my vestments, and I said in my memoir that there's nothing lower than the voice of a poorly educated white racist, you know. And so I just turned and went up to the house, which was next door, and it had been a white church, and there was next door a house for the parsonage, but it was now a Black church. So I went in there, and I said, they said, well, come on in, Rev. And I said, well, I just got, you know, this guy said he wanted to kill me, and he was down. Oh, he said, oh, that's One-Eyed Jack. Said, don't pay any attention to him. So I did not pay any attention to him, and he didn't take a shot at me. That was somewhere at a large rally of Black people, and somebody discharged a firearm at them, didn't hit anybody. Yeah, there was another when we were in Lowndes County and announcing that Blacks were now free to vote. Somebody drove by this church and took a shot. I don't think they wanted to kid anybody, but, you know, they wanted to scare people. That's about it. I escaped somebody wanting to kill me. So
you knew and you worked with people such as Jonathan Daniels and others, white and Black, who did lose their lives during that time.
Yeah, that's true. I was continually amazed at the resiliency and the courage of illiterate Black people in Alabama and in the Black Belt. I got a whole new idea of what it was to be a brave and wise person that had only gone through the third grade, you know. That was very revealing to me.
Father Francis Walter, whose memoir, From Preaching to Meddling, is published by New South Books.